Samuel here on Sunday mornings, and just going through it chapter by chapter and trying to get more familiar with books of the Bible and just going through and in an orderly manner. So you learn the context of things. I think it's important to know the context of what you're reading, so you're not just pulling verses out of the Bible and just applying them wherever, kind of a throw a dart and wherever it hits, you know, that verse applies to me and stuff like that. It's all good. All the Bible's good. We're going to cover 1 Samuel chapter 4. So here's the setting for what's going on here. Israel has been disobedient to God, and they left the Lord years before this happens. The priests have become Eli and his sons Hophni and Phinehas that are administrating and ministering in the tabernacle and overseeing the Ark of the Covenant. Their spiritual condition is terrible, and so they've left God years before this happens, and now an enemy's about to come in. The Philistines, and Israel is going to go to war against the Philistines without God involved in any of it, and they're going to find out what fighting battles without God is like, and so it's not going to be good. I wish I had a real upbeat, positive, you know, rah rah message this morning, but the fact is, in this chapter, It's another couple chapters before you get to some bright spots with Samuel. But this is the situation. Israel has left the Lord, and now they're going to superficially try to get God involved in what they're doing. And I think that's pretty appropriate for our lives and for the way a lot of us think. Is we ignore God in every aspect of life until we have some trouble, and then we want to call God and expect Him to show up when we've ignored Him at every other point in our life. This is Israel. This is where they're at. 12 times in this chapter, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned, and it's just sort of following the narration, sort of just following the Ark of the Covenant, where it goes. And let's read verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. The name for all this comes at the end of the chapter, and the thing that describes the whole scenario is Ichabod. And Ichabod just means the glory of God is gone. It's gone. And you'll see that at the end of the chapter. But let's read verse 1. 1 Samuel verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. The word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now, Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel when they joined battle. Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken. Two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it all, the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today of the army." And he said, What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel's fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark is taken." And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake. And he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law Phinehas' wife was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." What a tragic, tragic time in a nation's history. The glory of God, God's presence is nowhere to be found in the nation. They go out to war without any provision, protection from God. And the reason is they've left God. Israel has left God years ago. And they find out what fighting battles without the Lord feels like. And it ends in tragedy. It's a mess. There'll be an answer to all this in a couple chapters when Samuel shows up. But I think it's interesting. The very first words in this chapter are the words of Samuel came to Israel. And then it's almost like it just departs from the Lord, just departs from that. Here's Samuel. He's going to be the only source of light for this nation. But the words that come to Samuel, like they seem to fall on deaf ears with Israel. It doesn't look like Israel listens or responds in any way. And so they go out to war, lose. Then the Philistines are more determined. They're fearing for their lives, and the Philistines get more determined. And they fight back again, and Israel loses thousands and thousands of men. And before you know it, it is just at the end, the ark is gone. That was where God's presence would be. It's gone. It's in enemy hands. And Israel's just been decimated. And the whole chapter is defined by one word, which is Ichabod. The glory of God's gone. It's gone. Now, let's pray real quick, and I want to show you what that meant when the glory of God left, what that meant to a nation all through this chapter. But let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Pray you'd help us make the applications that need to be made in our personal lives. And like Craig said, Lord, if anybody here is not saved, Father, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. They would seek out and trust the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Understand their sin before a holy God. And Lord, without your presence, there is just nothing that replaces your presence. And Lord, I pray that you'd be here among us and help me, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help us get out of these words what we need to get out of them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, back at the beginning of the chapter. The subject matter, the theme, Ichabod, the glory of God, is gone. But it isn't gone in this chapter. It was gone before this chapter. But Israel just finds out what it's like to go to battle without God's glory, and that's something we ought to consider. It's possible for any of you, any of us in here, to enter into a conflict or enter into a spiritual conflict, some area of decision, some area of life where you've left God out of this thing, and you find yourself in a mess, and you want to try to bring God and drag God into it, but He's nowhere to be found. And what you understand, and what you got to understand from all of this is, God didn't leave in the midst of the battle. He was gone long before the battle ever started. He had been abandoned long before this ever happens. Let's read the first two verses. The first point is this: the glory of God is gone from the battle. Verse 1 says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." That's good. But then, "Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. The Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men." Wow. What a massacre. 4,000 men. They go out to fight, and Israel is, you know, they think they're ready. We got God on our side, and they show up, and the Philistines just slaughter the Israelites. And I imagine in the heart of a nation like that, your stomach just sinks. It's just gut wrenching. To hear about this massive slaughter, you thought, hey, we're God's people. God should be on our side. And you go out to fight and you find out God didn't protect you. And I think every one of us has probably been in this situation, and you felt like you were going to go out to battle, and you were going to, there's some decisions to be made. And man, it just, whatever happened, it didn't happen the way you expected it to happen at all. And you went out there and, you know, we prayed about this thing, and, you know, this is what we're going to do. And you could probably define all of 2020 like that. It's just one thing after another, man. Just one thing after another, blindsided by this, blindsided by that. And you just, you don't know where it's all coming from. But you just feel like, man, what happened? Where is God in this? Where is He? Well, in Israel's life, He was gone, but not because He wanted to be gone, but because He had been abandoned. He had been left years ago. So Israel finds out the hard way, and it reminds me of some New Testament verses in Ephesians. He talks about putting on the whole armor of God and things like that, where you take the Lord into battle. You actively apply principles from the words of God. You actively apply principles from the book that would affect your behavior in some way. It would affect your thoughts in some way. It affect your perspective on life. But unfortunately, what we seem to do is we find ourselves in a mess, and then we want God to just show up and fix it. And here's Israel, man. They go out to battle after ignoring everything God had said for years and years. They go out to battle and they are just slaughtered. And so they all come home, and soldiers come home, and people come back, and they're just watching their TVs wondering, what happened? What happened to our nation? Where is God in this? And then the second thing is, the glory of God is gone from leadership. Because when you get in a position like that, and you kind of recoil, and you wonder, okay, we got to gather ourselves and figure out what went wrong here. Where did we mess up? Where did we get sidetracked? What's the solution to this? And you kind of recoil and you step back, you kind of gather your thoughts. Well, that's what Israel does. They step back. They gather their thoughts, and somebody has the bright idea to, hey, let's get the Ark of the Covenant and just like take this thing out as a magic token and maybe it'll do something. So these leaders in Israel, it's just superstitious is what it is. They go back and they say, hey, let's get the Ark of the Covenant and let's parade that thing out and let it fight for us. Because we're kind of, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to fight this. We don't know what went wrong. And so here's what they say in verse 3. When the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? It's like, what happened? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. It's almost like a rabbit's foot or something. It's like somebody, hey, here's what we should do. Since the presence of God wasn't with us on the battlefield, let's just make the presence of God be with us and just take the ark out of the tabernacle and just push it to the front of the line, and maybe it'll just zap fry all the Philistines. And so somebody gets this idea, and all the leaders of Israel say, yeah, that's a great idea. It's real good. Let's do that. Let's get the presence of God out of here, and let's put it in the front, and let's just let it fight our battle. It tells you something about the mentality of the people. You know, they're lost. They don't have any idea what to do. That they've been destroyed in battle, and they don't really want to fight because they don't really know how to fight. Where is the battle here? How are we going to do this? So they get that idea and they get the ark out and watch what they do. This is interesting. When the glory of God is gone from leadership, this, you're going to see a sanctified joke. They get these priests, Hophni and Phinehas, who have been committing adultery in the tabernacle, who have been robbing people of their offerings, who have been stealing, who are just corrupt as anything. I mean, the corrupt priesthood is just, it's intolerable. And they haul these priests out as though they're some sort of righteous specimens and just these people that will represent God Almighty. These guys are a joke. These guys are a joke. They have ruined the tabernacle of God. And so here's what they do. They get the ark out. And then in verse 4 it says, so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. So just imagine the scene. We just got destroyed. We kind of recover. We're going to recoil. We're going to rethink our strategy. Somebody says, get the Ark out. Everybody says, yeah, it's a good idea. Do that. Get the ark out. Let's just make the presence of God go with us. And so they get Hophni and Phinehas, these priestly jokes, just sanctified whatever. I mean, they don't have a bit of spiritual understanding at all. And they make this parade, and they parade through the streets, and they take the ark out, and all Israel is just clapping, and yeah, we got the ark. Yeah, God's with us now. And it's just this emotional uproar. But you know what's interesting about the whole thing? All this emotional uproar? God is nowhere in any of this. He's nowhere in any of this. These people are screaming and hollering and shouting and you know, praying probably and just blessing God. And we're so glad God's on our side, and what a great thing to have the ark and parading it out and all that stuff. So much so that the Bible says that the earth is shaking. I mean, this is a rally, man. This is a presidential rally, whatever. This is a rally. And I mean, the earth is shaking and people are emotional and they're excited. But absent all of that is God. He's nowhere in any of this. So after they parade the ark out, the glory of God's gone from the leadership. They've lost their stomach to fight. They're just going to use this thing as a good luck charm. But after all this, let's keep reading. Verse 6. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is coming to the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore." We've never heard these people scream so loud. What is happening over there in Israel? These people are hollering. They are excited. They're so energetic now. I mean, what's happened? The enthusiasm is just off the charts. And the Philistines hear all this, and that it creates in them a resolve. And I think it's interesting that God's crowd doesn't have the stomach to fight. But man, the devil's crowd has a stomach to fight. They get resolved. And they hear this and they start telling each other, "We better dig in, man. We better dig in." And it uses the phrase, "Quit ye like men." I mean, we better fight this. And these Philistines get together. And they say, verse 8, "Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness." You know what's interesting about that? One thing is interesting, I think. These Philistines knew the history of Israel. They knew the history of God. They knew what God had done with Israel. But Israel didn't seem to remember what God had done with Israel. Philistines knew, and they knew that God had delivered them out of Egypt, delivered Israel out of Egypt, and the Philistines essentially say, "Man, if we're going to fight, we better dig in and fight." And they're willing, the Philistines, you could say the devil's crowd, they're willing to fight for their lives. You see that in the nation, don't you? Devil's crowd's willing to fight for their lives. They're kind of willing to show up and die for what they believe. But God's crowd, maybe not so much. You could say just not violent people, you know. You don't want to enter into a conflict like that. But it's interesting, the devil's crowd, they dig in. And these Philistines, they say, "Be strong, quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." The glory of God's gone from leadership. Israel, they're energetic. They're parading the ark of God. And they're all excited about the possibility. But God is nowhere in it. The Philistines see all that energy and they say, "Man, we better dig in. We got to fight." And they say, "Look, you Philistines, you may die in this fight, but you got to fight because we cannot be slaves of those Hebrews." And so the Philistines dig in and fight. And then you find out God's glory is not only gone from the battle, God's glory is gone from leadership. God's glory is gone from the priesthood. Verse 10, "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen." And on top of that, the ark of God was taken. What? These guys, these brilliant elders of Israel said, "Take the ark out and put it in front and it'll fight for us." And it didn't. And God didn't fight for them. And not only are there, how many men are killed? 30,000? 30,000 men are killed. And then the ark is taken on top of that. So in battle number one, 4,000 men die. That's a blow to a nation. And they get all excited and they go back out to battle. And they expect that ark to just, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark type stuff. It'll just melt everybody and whatever. All that. But it doesn't. They go back out to battle. Israel goes back out to battle. And instead of losing 4,000 men, they lose 30,000 soldiers. If you thought 4,000 did something to a nation, think about what 30,000 does. And then on top of that, the ark is gone. Man, you talk about a nation in a dark place. No ark. You've lost 34,000 people in a short time. God hasn't protected you. And on top of that, verse 10, all these priests that were supposed to be in charge of the ark, they're dead. Verse 10, the Philistines fought and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. The ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Yeah. I imagine there are a lot of Israelites wondering, where did God go? Where did he go? What happened to our nation? I mean, we thought we had this thing. I mean, we went out to battle, and yeah, we suffered. We got hit pretty hard the first time. We kind of regrouped, and we went back out there, and man, we thought we got hit hard the first time. We got destroyed the second time. And not only that, we lost the most important piece of furniture in all of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant is now in the hands of the Philistines. And the people who were picked to oversee the Ark, that we just paraded through the streets to say, these are going to be our saviors. These are the ones that are going to help us. They're all dead. Now, what's not in this chapter is, for some reason, Samuel doesn't die in any of this. Samuel survives all of this. You'll see it in the next couple chapters. But Samuel seems to be out of the picture here. But the priesthood, the old priesthood, gone. Completely wiped out in a day. God's glory is gone from the priesthood. Let me give you a little application on that for a New Testament, for someone who says they're a Christian. Let me give you an application. I'll just read a verse to you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Talking about the Lord's Supper, you know, Lord's Supper, remembering the body of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you are a priest. You're spiritually a priest. And you're sanctified to give an offering of thanksgiving to God. That's what you're sanctified to do, to publicly praise God. But, verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, now this is interesting. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's death. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, if Israel, back in 1 Samuel, if Israel had judged themselves, if Israel had made some self-judgments instead of just seeking out pleasure at every turn, if they had made some critical judgments early on, God would still be involved in their life. But they didn't. The priesthood just sought out pleasure. The people just sought out convenience and pleasure, and God was nowhere to be found in their lives until the battle comes, and then, hey, where's God? Well, God is back there where you left him. You left him long time ago, And so when you stepped out on the battlefield, he wasn't there with you. Priesthood, leadership, God's glory is gone from the battle. God's glory is gone from all of the things that were dedicated to him. You look in verse 12. It says, "And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head." I mean, I could just see the pictures in the news, you know, the kids running through the streets and there's bombs going off and it's just, there's dirt on them, there's filth on them, they're just running. That's Israel. They're in a mess. And this soldier comes running in and he runs past Eli because the ark's gone. 30,000 men have died. In verse 13, when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat. Now watch this phrase. Anybody remember any parables about sower and a seed? Eli sat upon a seat by what? By the wayside. That's the spiritual condition of that nation. Wayside. That's where the seed, that's where the word of God is. It's on the wayside. And everything you had invited in spiritually is now physically at your front door. All the garbage and all the trash you've let in spiritually is now destroying the tabernacle of God. It is now destroying the families and lives and Israelites' nation. This man runs by Eli. Eli is, he can't see, he's blind. He just hears all this commotion. And when Eli heard the noise, verse 14, of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli is 98 years old, his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." Everything that had been dedicated to God years and years ago, all of the things designed for the service of God, even the people that were designed for the service of God, are now out. Destroyed. The priests are out. The furniture, the tabernacle, the whole thing is just utterly gone. Now, I'll make one point that really correlates with this. If you don't have the presence of God in your life, it doesn't really matter what else you have. Israel had all kinds of things, but they didn't have the presence of God anymore. And once the presence of God is gone, it's only a matter of time before the nation crumbles, before the family crumbles, before the life crumbles. God's presence is everything. I'll just, as an illustration, if you went back to Exodus, right before Israel goes into the promised land, the Lord talks to Moses and he says, "You go ahead. I'm not," the Lord says to Moses, "you lead these people, but I'm not going with you." You know what Moses says? He says, "If you don't go with us, what good is our going into the promised land? If you don't go with us, what good is it?" That's the nation of Israel. Now they're in the promised land. And they are overrun with enemies. And the presence of God is nowhere to be found. And everything that had been dedicated to God, from the people to the furniture to the tabernacle, everything that had been dedicated to God is now defiled and destroyed. What a terrible situation. The spiritual life of Israel has gone to the wayside. And that's the testimony there. And then in the last few verses, The glory of God has gone from the nation itself. Verse 19. And his daughter-in-law, this is Eli's daughter-in-law, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child. I'm going to stop there. You guys that have been following along in these sermons, 1 Samuel, one of the things Phinehas was doing was he's committing adultery with all these women that are showing up at the tabernacle. But apparently he's a married guy with a child on the way. What a crook. What a crook. This guy is overseeing the things of God while he's fornicating with all these women, while he has a child, a pregnant mom, at the house. What a terrible, terrible place for a nation to be in. It says in verse 19, his daughter-in-law Phinehas' wife was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. Wow. So she's in labor, and all of the turmoil of the situation just induces labor, and now she's going to have this baby. And she goes into the labor pains, and she has a child, and she's going to die in labor. There you go. She's going to die in labor. Then, verse 20, about that time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. So there's somebody, there's like a nurse there, and she's helping Mrs. Phinehas, and Mrs. Phinehas has this baby. Just the turmoil and the excited emotions of the situation induces labor, and the nurse says, "It's okay, you've had a child. It's okay," and there's no response from mom. His mom's dead. And the nurse is holding that baby and looking around at the fire and the mess and the ark gone and the 44,000 people that have died in the nation. And she looks at that baby and she names it Ichabod. And she says, "God's glory is nowhere near this place. He is gone. He is gone." So she says in verse 21, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." You typically want to name your kid something that's good. Paul, you know, James. I mean, something that has a good connotation to it. You got to be in a really, really bad mess to name a child after the destruction in a country. And this nurse holding this baby, mom's dead, dad's dead, everybody that's involved with this child is dead. And she looks at this child and she sees the ark is gone. People have died. We have been completely overrun by the enemy. And she says, "This child's name is Ichabod, because God is nowhere near this place." But God didn't leave. Israel left God years ago. It wasn't God that just pushed them out to battle so that they would all die. It was Israel that went out to fight without God. It was Israel that decided, "Hey, we're going to abandon God in our daily lives. We'll live how we want to live. And then whenever we need help, we'll just summons God." And apparently God isn't summoned that way. Apparently he doesn't just show up because people say, "Hey, show up." Apparently, if there's no footsteps with the prayers, God had said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear your prayer. That's Israel. Regarding iniquity in their nation, and then all of a sudden, oh God, help us. And God is nowhere near it. And the result of all of this, at the end of this chapter, is a little baby without mom or dad. And a nurse looking at this little baby and looking at the circumstances of her nation and saying, this baby's name is Ichabod. Because the state of our nation is terrible. God is nowhere near this. Now, I don't want to end on a bad note. I can't just send you home and say, God's nowhere near the nation. Go home. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. There's a couple chapters that get really bad. And then Samuel pops up. And God raises up a young man with some influence, promotes him. And here's what Samuel says. You want to get God back involved in this thing? It isn't a matter of just begging God and saying, hey God, show up at my doorstep. Here's what Samuel says. Verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. That was the solution. The first thing Samuel said to Israel is, if you return to God, he'll return to you. The problem is you left God years ago. And the way you left God was you started serving all this other pleasure, all these other things. And you made all these other things idols in your lives, and God just kind of fell to the wayside. And now you need help. And so Samuel is raised up by the Lord, and he says, look, if you want to get God back in this, it's not just a matter of saying a prayer. You're going to have to put away the idols that came between you and God. Put them away, get rid of them, and serve God. And then God will hear you, and he'll show back up. And so that's what they do. And so the Bible says, and Samuel judged Israel. You know what he did? He made a judgment. He said, your life is so contrary to God, he's nowhere near it. And now, unfortunately, you've reaped those consequences in your nation. Israel is in a mess. That whole, you're going to see a couple of chapters like this until we get to 1 Samuel 7. But the solution, here's the solution. God didn't leave you. You left him somewhere. And you're going to have to go back and find out where you left him. There was some point in time where you exalted something or some things over God. And at that point in time, God was gone. And this thing became preeminent in your life. And it became so important that you lived your life around this thing. But then you got in trouble. And then you said, God, come help me. And you found out that thing that you held up as an idol couldn't help. It didn't talk to you. It didn't provide protection for you. It didn't help you in any way. And when you looked for God, he was nowhere to be found. That's Israel. The solution is in 1 Samuel 7, where Samuel judges Israel. The solution for any human being, any person within the sound of my voice, return to the Lord. It's not just a matter of, hey, God, come help me. It's you left God, or I left God somewhere way back. And now we're fighting battles and we're realizing God's nowhere near to be found. You need to remember where you left him. Go back and find him. And put away all that stuff that became preeminent over Jesus Christ. This is obviously before Jesus Christ, but this is the idea. All these things became preeminent over Jesus Christ. And I think it's appropriate, but you guys, I know y'all see on the news on a regular basis, and you just like feel like you're hit every night. Some new stupid protest, some new city on fire, somebody's business being burned down, somebody's whole life being destroyed. You watch this stuff and you say, where is God in all this? Well, here's the thing. We left God a long time ago, and we lived our lives around idols. And then our city started burning. And then we wondered, where is God? Well, he's right where we left him. Like Samuel said, look, get rid of the idols. Get rid of the things that came between you and God and return to the Lord. And you know what? He'll return to you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He didn't leave. He doesn't kick people out into warfare just to watch them die in battle. People go out to battle without God by choice. And they choose to fight without the Lord. They choose to leave God a long time before this. I encourage you, if in your personal life you can do a self-judgment, just like Paul said in Corinthians, look, if a man would judge himself, he wouldn't be judged. If he would get the things right that need to be got right, I wouldn't show up with the enemy. If a man would judge himself, he won't be judged. Some self-judgment, some self-evaluation. Maybe my hopelessness is not everyone else's fault. Maybe my lack of peace is not everybody else's fault. Maybe I left God, and I left his peace, and I left his righteousness, and now I'm just trying to fight battles without him. With all this in mind, we'll wrap it up here. We'll have a little time of invitation. Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano. Some time of self-evaluation.